Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 on your television entitled The Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a listen. We also have an extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. There you will find these radio programs and MP3 files. You'll find our TV programs you can look at. And you will find many Bible resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you see the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and visit us. We have been examining the subject of fruit of the Spirit. We are now looking and beginning to look at the last fruit in the list, and that is the fruit of self-control. We want to begin by reading our text again. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law." We have now come to the last fruit mentioned in the list. That doesn't mean that it's the least important and one that we can take lightly. Can you imagine a Christian who is out of control? Does he not bring insult upon the name of the one that he wears? Much like a president who would have no self-control would be an abomination to our nation. The danger of not controlling our appetites also extends to the destruction of the soul because it means you have an utter rejection of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Scripture says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Romans 8, verse 5 through 8, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are of the flesh cannot please God." And so we need to remember that we need to practice self-control in our lives. We need to be of self-control of our appetites and our emotions in order to exemplify the influence and example to good to those around about us. We want to use two other scriptures that will help us understand this preface. And that's used in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 6 in considering the Christian graces. There we read, "To knowledge, self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness." You see, we're to add self-control to our faith in order that we might persevere. And so we need to learn this attribute of self-control. Acts 24 and 25. "Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid." God demands righteousness from those in his kingdom, and that righteousness means that we must respond with self-control. God will judge us according to how we respond to his commandments. The thought of judgment frightened Felix, and we should ask ourselves if such a thought or doctrine frightens us. If we're not one who practices self-control, then we need to be frightened for the judgment to come, because God will condemn us because it is sinful. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a broken down without walls, a city broken down without walls." Solomon used the graphic of a city with broken down walls to describe the man who has no self-control. The man who does not restrain his passion and energies or his spirit, a man who has no defense against rage, lust, or other harmful feelings that can control and define his character. Self-control is commanded by God for our own good. It provides us with a defense against the wiles and the temptations of our adversary, the devil. In Proverbs 16, verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he who takes a city. I like the way this version renders this passage. You can compare it to one you brought. Not only is self-control a defensive mechanism that the Spirit pleads for us to use and improve, but also is an offensive weapon. Controlling your spirit is better than being a hero or a mighty man. It is a stronger weapon than a person needs to conquer a city. It allows a person to be wiser, see clearer. It allows him to avoid the mistakes of which he will later need to repent of. You see, he rules his spirit. Defining self-control, we look at the Greek lexicon, and it comes from the Greek word elkakrita. And this word means self-control, the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. The art of mastering the control of one's desires and passions and emotion, and especially one who masters his sensual appetites. In and out of control. When you stop to think about it, there are many things over which we have no control. We are actually in control of very little in our lives. None of us can control the weather. Besides the recent bad weather that we've been experiencing that wreak havoc all over the world, and we have tsunamis that destroy hundreds and thousands of people as it did in December of 2004, it is a real reminder of how little control we have over nature. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we understand that though there are things that we don't have control over? We also see natural events in 9/11 serves as a reminder of how vulnerable we really are and our physical security and how we can be hurt by our outside foes. Do not make mistake of thinking that these things mean that God has somewhere lost control. God will never lose control. The Bible tells us very plainly in Acts 17, verse 26, that God is in control. He is the one that has the power in his hand. In Job chapter 12, verse 23 through 25, he makes nations great and destroys them. He energizes nations and guides them. He takes away the understanding of the chief of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. They grope in the dark without light, and he makes them stagger like a drunken man. You see, there are things that are out of our control. There are things that are supremely in God's hands, and we must leave them there. Family. Parents have a great amount of control. What our children watch, what they wear, what they do, what they say, what they eat, where they go, and the people they hang around with. But we do not have absolute control, especially when they grow up and leave our home. We hope they will remember and use our guidance, but in the end, they decide whether or not they will follow it. We do not even have absolute control over the ones that we marry, and so we must accept those facts. So, we can control ourselves. God has not given us a commandment that is too difficult for us to obey, but it takes intense training to learn how to control yourself. This is probably our greatest battle. This is probably our greatest fight, is to learn to control ourselves, our minds, our thinking, and our attitude. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 25, the Apostle Paul would write about our subject. It says, "Do not run. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." Paul draws our minds to the example of a runner who shows temperance or self-control. First of all, everyone is to run in the race. It's not a walk, it's not a ride, it's not a hike, it's a race. Therefore, we must all run the race, but only one receives a prize. Paul's exhortation is that you run life's marathon the same way, with the same tension, stress, and energy as a professional runner. Second, the athlete competes according to the rules. When you compete, you acknowledge that there is, or should be, a set of standards for fair play, that there should be rules that govern the game. Compare also, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is crowned unless he competes according to the rules. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 4. The rules for running life race are in the New Testament, and they must be adhered to, and they must be followed. If we do not follow them, then we run unlawfully, and we will be disqualified. Third, the successful athlete who competes for the prize is temperate. He exercises self-control in the New American Standard Version in all things. This requires that he not engage in certain activities that would wear him down prior to the race. It requires intense concentration while on the racetrack, not getting sidetracked in what's going on, either on the course or off the course. Compared to 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, no one engages in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Self-control may also mean that we do not overindulge in things that are not in and of themselves simple, but may, because of their added weight, keep us from the finish line. We need to understand that there are things that we can do that will hinder us in running our race. It will cause us to be less productive. It will cause us to be less focused and less centered on what we need to do. Paul draws our minds to the example of this runner to show that temperance is needed in this race. We discipline our body. Therefore, I run, thus not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. You see, Paul draws our minds back into the example of this runner who shows temperance. Now we can see that the Christianity is not for the wishy-washy. It's for a character of person who is focused. It takes focus, it takes energy, discipline, and self-control. Even the great apostle had to maintain a degree of faith in his walk with God. He had to discipline his body and make it subject to his mind, lest he became a disqualified hypocrite. This passage, therefore, truly shows the importance of self-control and self-discipline. Failure to do either will disqualify us in our service to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we must realize that we must control the things that we do. Our bodies must be brought under control. Our focus must be brought under control. Our thinking must be drawn under control. We must try to bring our attitudes, our minds, our thinking, our energy, and our focus into the spiritual realm. And we must focus on the goal and the goal that is set before us. In Hebrews 12:1, therefore, as we are set aside, by surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. An athlete who overindulges by participating in an all-night video game and pizza party may not necessarily be sinning, but he would be adding weight to keep him from the potential that he could have in the race. For Christians, some things in and of themselves may not be simple, but they are a weight because they take up so much of our time and mind that keep us from reaching our potential as Christians. We have to lay aside any weight that could cause us to lose focus on the goal, and the goal is heaven, to be with the Lord and with the saved for all eternity. And we must keep focused, and we can't do that unless we control our thinking, our passions, our appetites, and our minds. Thank you for listening today. We encourage you to tune in again next week as we will continue looking at this fruit of self-control. Have a blessed day.